Welcome to the Nowercast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and with me as always is my co-host.
Great to be here. We've got a really packed show today, touching on everything from autonomous cloud deployments to some wild battery stress tests that are pushing the limits of material science.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Cloudflare and Stripe's new protocol that lets AI agents actually buy domains and provision infrastructure entirely on their own. It's a huge step forward for agentic workflows, moving from code generation to actual deployment.
And on the hardware side, Polyjoule just showed off a third-generation polymer battery that can literally take a blowtorch at 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit without catching fire. It's a massive development for grid-scale energy storage safety.
Plus, we'll look at a new plug-in SDK proposal for the KimiFlare coding agent that could completely change how we extend AI tooling directly in the terminal. We've got a lot of ground to cover, so let's dive right in. Starting off today with a pretty massive shift in how we think about infrastructure deployment. Cloudflare and Stripe just launched a new protocol that allows AI agents to autonomously create Cloudflare accounts, register domains, subscribe to services, and deploy applications. This went live on April 30th, 2026.
It's a wild concept. We're moving from AI that just writes code to AI that actually provisions the infrastructure to host that code. The integration is part of Stripe Projects, which is currently in an open beta. It uses OAuth, OpenID Connect, and payment tokenization to handle the identity and billing side of things.
Right. And the friction they're removing here is substantial. Normally, an AI coding agent might build a great application, but then a human has to step in, manually create an account, manage API tokens, and punch in a credit card. This protocol eliminates all of that. The agent can take an idea from zero to a live deployed application without any human intervention.
Which immediately raises the question of security and financial risk. If an agent goes rogue or gets caught in some infinite loop, could it rack up thousands of dollars in cloud bills? They've tried to mitigate this by implementing a default spending cap of $100 per month per provider.
The $100 cap is a smart safeguard, but I do wonder if it's enough for more complex, enterprise-level deployments. Still, for startups and individual developers, it's plenty. In fact, Cloudflare is heavily incentivizing this. They're offering $100,000 in credits to startups that incorporate via Stripe Atlas and utilize this agentic capability.
That's a huge carrot to dangle. It shows how serious Cloudflare is about capturing this new wave of agentic infrastructure. If you think about the competitive landscape, if this protocol becomes an open standard, it could force AWS, Vercel, and others to adopt similar autonomous provisioning workflows.
Exactly. And it's fascinating to think about any platform with signed-in users potentially acting as an orchestrator for cloud deployments. You could just chat with an interface, and the backend agent handles the entire lifecycle, from repository creation to domain registration.
Some critics might argue this is a niche feature, solving a problem that isn't actually that burdensome. I mean, how long does it really take a developer to set up a Cloudflare account and link a GitHub repository? 5 minutes?
True, but when you multiply that 5 minutes by hundreds of microservices or dozens of rapid prototypes, the context switching adds up. Plus, the goal here isn't just saving 5 minutes, it's enabling fully autonomous systems. If an AI agent can detect a spike in traffic, spin up a new service, register a subdomain, and deploy a load balancer entirely on its own, that's a paradigm shift.
Let's dig into the mechanics a bit. The use of OAuth and payment tokenization means the agent never actually sees the raw credit card details. Stripe handles the secure token exchange, which the agent then presents to Cloudflare to authorize the transaction.
That separation of concerns is critical. The agent only gets a scoped token that says, this entity is authorized to spend up to $100 on this specific service. It's a very zero-trust approach to autonomous spending.
And the fact that they're using OpenID Connect standardizes the identity layer. It means the agent isn't just a script running somewhere. It has a verifiable identity that Cloudflare can trust. This could pave the way for a whole ecosystem of trusted agents interacting with various enterprise platforms.
It really feels like the beginning of a new era for DevOps. We've gone from physical servers to virtual machines to containers to serverless, and now we're entering the era of agent-provisioned infrastructure. The developer just defines the desired state, and the agent figures out the logistics of getting it hosted and built.
Let's pivot over to hardware and energy. Polyjoule, an MIT spinoff company, just unveiled its third-generation battery chemistry, and they are making some massive claims about safety and performance. They've developed a proprietary conductive polymer cathode paired with a liquid salt electrolyte that is actually designed to self-extinguish.
The self-extinguishing part is what caught my eye immediately. They demonstrated this by taking a propane blowtorch to the cell's internal components. We're talking about temperatures around 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit, or nearly 2,000 degrees Celsius, and it just didn't catch fire.
That's incredible when you compare it to traditional lithium-ion batteries, which are notorious for thermal runaway. If a lithium-ion cell gets punctured or overheats, it can create a self-sustaining fire that is incredibly difficult to put out. Polyjoule's polymer batteries store charge along an organic molecular backbone, rather than in metallic crystalline lattices, which fundamentally changes the thermal dynamics.
And because of that stability, the company states these cells don't require active thermal management. Think about the cost and complexity savings for grid-scale energy storage. You don't need elaborate liquid cooling systems or heavy HVAC infrastructure to keep the batteries safe.
Plus, they are entirely free of rare earth metals. From a supply chain perspective, that's a massive advantage. You're not reliant on geographically constrained mining operations for materials like cobalt or nickel. You can theoretically produce these polymers domestically with much less geopolitical friction.
But we have to talk about the energy density, because that's always been the Achilles heel of polymer batteries. Polyjoule claims this third-generation chemistry offers a 10x improvement in energy density over their first generation.
Right. A 10x improvement is huge, but we have to put that in context. Even with that leap, polymer batteries are still physically larger and heavier than their lithium-ion equivalents for the exact same amount of energy storage.
Exactly. You aren't going to put a Polyjoule battery in an iPhone or a Tesla anytime soon. This technology is strictly aimed at stationary energy storage, like grid-scale deployments or commercial and industrial backup power, where space and weight aren't the primary constraints.
Though for commercial customers, space can still be an issue. If a data center wants to use polymer batteries for backup power, they might need a significantly larger footprint compared to a lithium-ion setup. The trade-off is that they don't have to worry about the battery room spontaneously combusting, which might lower their insurance premiums and eliminate the need for specialized fire suppression systems.
And let's not overlook the longevity. Polyjoule is claiming a cycle life of over 10,000 cycles. For a grid-scale battery that might be cycling once or twice a day to smooth out solar or wind generation, 10,000 cycles translates to decades of useful life without significant degradation.
It's a really compelling package for the right use case. The combination of domestic manufacturing, extreme thermal safety, and long cycle life makes it a serious contender for the stationary storage market, even if it can't compete with lithium-ion on pure volumetric energy density.
It'll be fascinating to see how quickly they can scale manufacturing for this third-generation chemistry. The demand for grid storage is absolutely exploding, and utility companies are becoming increasingly wary of the fire risks associated with massive lithium-ion installations. Polyjoule might have timed this breakthrough perfectly. Moving back to the software side, there's a really interesting architectural discussion happening in the KemiFlare repository. For some background, KemiFlare is an open-source, terminal-native coding agent that runs directly on Cloudflare Workers AI. It's powered by the Kemi K2.6 model.
It's a relatively new project, just launched in April 2026, and it's built with TypeScript. The core appeal of KemiFlare has been its ability to operate without a middleman, leveraging Cloudflare's infrastructure for a self-hosted AI coding assistant. But right now, its toolset is entirely hard-coded.
Right, and that brings us to issue 19. The community is proposing a move away from hard-coded tools by introducing a plugin SDK. The idea is to allow users to define custom skills for the agent.
So instead of just having basic file reading and writing capabilities, you could add domain-specific tools, like a skill to deploy to Vercel, run a database migration, or check Stripe logs.
The proposed scope for this is pretty well thought out. A skill would basically be a directory containing a skill.json file for metadata and triggers, a tools folder with JSON schemas and executors, and a prompt.md file to give the agent additional system context when that skill is active.
And the really ambitious part is the skill registry. They want to allow community skills to be hosted on GitHub and installed directly via a simple slash command. This mirrors the extensibility we've seen in other successful developer tools, but applying it to an autonomous AI agent introduces some massive security considerations.
Absolutely. It's one thing to install a VS Code extension that formats your code. It's another entirely to install a third-party AI skill that gives an autonomous agent the ability to execute arbitrary local or remote code on your behalf. How do you audit a community skill to ensure it's not maliciously exfiltrating your environment variables?
That's the million-dollar question. The proposal mentions that users shouldn't have to fork the entire KemiFlare repo just to add a custom tool, which makes sense from a usability standpoint. But balancing that user-driven extensibility with the inherent risks of agentic execution is going to be incredibly difficult.
It's a necessary evolution, though. If KemiFlare wants to compete with more established, ecosystem-heavy coding agents like Claude Code or Cursor, it has to have a plugin architecture. Developers have highly specialized workflows, and a one-size-fits-all hard-coded toolset just doesn't scale.
I agree. The value of an AI agent scales exponentially with the tools it has access to. If I can drop in a skill that lets KemiFlare query my specific AWS relational database and analyze slow query logs, that's infinitely more useful than just having it write boilerplate React components.
The design of the SDK will be critical. They'll need to implement strict sandboxing and permission models. Maybe the agent has to explicitly ask the user for permission before invoking a newly installed tool for the first time. Or maybe certain skills are restricted from accessing the network entirely.
It'll be interesting to watch this issue develop. The shift from a monolith to a plugin architecture is a rite of passage for any successful open source tool. But doing it safely in the context of an AI agent is a completely new frontier.
All right, those are some heavy architectural shifts. Let's hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got a mix of corporate AI initiatives, battery manufacturing, and some open source drama. Let's get into it.
First up, American Express launched two new AI initiatives on May 6th, designed to help small businesses move from AI exploration to practical application. They are offering up to $1,000 in scholarship funding for employees to pursue AI certifications, alongside self-guided tracks for AI generalists, digital marketing, and digital customer success.
It's a smart move by American Express. Small businesses often lack the resources to figure out how to actually integrate generative AI into their daily operations. Providing structured training and financial support helps bridge that gap, while also building a lot of goodwill for the brand.
Next, UC Santa Barbara is joining the newly formed Electrochemistry Foundry, a nonprofit backed by a $28 million award from the California Energy Commission. The goal is to bridge the Valley of Death for battery startups by building a 20,000-square-foot pilot manufacturing facility in Hayward, California, slated for late 2026.
Over on GitHub, Claude Code users are requesting better ways to manage their local conversation histories. Issue 56769 highlights that the current conversation list is an all-or-nothing global toggle. Developers want granular, per-project control to hide or limit the visibility of past sessions.
In infrastructure news, a botched zone signing key rotation at Denik caused a massive DNSSEC disruption for the .de namespace on May 5th. The registry published a malformed cryptographic record, which caused validating resolvers like Google Public DNS to return serve fail errors, knocking millions of German websites offline for users.
Cloudflare actually had to deploy a negative trust anchor to temporarily disable DNSSEC validation for the zone just to get traffic flowing again. it's a stark reminder of the systemic fragility introduced by cryptographic security layers. One administrative typo at the registry level can break the internet for an entire country.
Finally, UK-based Star Labs has officially launched the Starfighter 16-inch, a premium Linux-exclusive laptop. It features a magnesium alloy chassis, Core Boot open-source firmware, and starts at $1,878 for an Intel Core Ultra 5 model. And that's going to wrap it up for today's briefing. From AI agents buying their own domains to blowtorch-resistant batteries, the pace of innovation across these sectors is just relentless.
It really is. Thanks for tuning in to the Naracast Tech Briefing. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the research briefs and GitHub issues we discussed today.
We'll be back tomorrow with more deep dives into the tech that's shaping our infrastructure. Until then, keep your agents sandboxed and your batteries cool. See you next time.